Shalom Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Hey. We are continuing our trek through the Lamed Tes Melachos. We have another couple blot, I think today and tomorrow, and then we are going to spend at least a couple of weeks on Hotza'ah, and then we'll dive into some of the other Melachos. But right now, we are in the middle of the Halakha Mishnah, at least quoting the Mishnah. We're on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, HaKoreh Almanas Lidfor, that is tearing in order to re-sew. So Gemara says, Kriya v'mishkan mihavo. Where would you tear something in binyan ha-mishkan? So Rabba v'Rabbi Zera d'amifavayu shekin yiriya shenafal ba'darna. What the case is where you have one of the yirios, one of the curtains, that you have a worm that fell onto it, right? And the worm dug its way through the yiriya. So what do they do? The way to fix that would be korin ba'vatofrenosa. They would tear it on both sides, just so it makes a easier area to, you know, give them more room to work, and then they would sew it back up instead of just sewing the hole, which would end up making the fabric uneven. Okay. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav Hamoteach Chut Shel Tfira B'Shabbos. Someone who stretches out a stitch on Shabbos, Chayev Chatas. What exactly is that? Again, if he's pulling, you know, a long thread to tighten two pieces of the garment, if you can imagine, he's pulling on like a garment has something that sticks out from each side. I'm not sure exactly how to envision this, but if you're stretching out like a stitch, so from both sides to make it tighter, so the Gemara says chayev chadas here chayev. This is not related to Shabbos, but we're just, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said these three things in the name of Rav, so we're going to just quote all of them here. If you learn something from a magush, you're going to see what there's a machlokus is what that is. So chayev misa, so you are chayev misa. And somebody who knows how to kind of figure out and understand the constellations and the tkuvos and the seasons and the times of the year and doesn't look usher lesaper himenu. It's usher literally means to speak with him, but it means that you're not allowed to learn anything from him. You're not allowed to speak with him in something that's chashuv, meaning in Divrei Torah. Gemara says, Magushta, Rabbi Shmuel, Chara Marcharshi, Chara Margedufik. So, what is this Magush that we said that's Aser? If you learn anything from a Magush, Chayav Misa. So, Rabbi Shmuel, Machlokas 1 says that it's a Charshi, which is a necromancer, someone who does black magic from back in the day. And one of them says Gedufi, a Magadif. You remember the story of the Magadif in a couple of weeks ago we had in the Chumash, is someone who curses the name of Hashem, is a blasphemer. So the machlokas, which of those two things they are? The Gemara says, "Tistaim deRav dama gedufe." It makes sense that Rav is the one who says that a magush is a gedufe, is a blasphemer. Dama Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Marav Halomei Dover Echem in a magush Chayav Misa. It makes sense that if you learn anything from a magush, you're Chayav Misa. V'isakadei techarshi, and if you think that it's a sorcerer, Haksiv the pasuk says, "Lo silmod lasos." You're not allowed to learn to do. But aval atalamed lahavinu lahoros, but you are allowed to learn, and lahoros here means to paskin, right? To whether these things are usher or not. The Torah lists off the ov, yidoni, all these different types of sorcery that is usher. So perhaps the Gemara says here that what's to learn them in order to paskin and figure out whether they're mutar or usher. But it doesn't make sense that someone who learns this stuff should necessarily be Chayav Misa. So therefore, just time, it makes a lot of sense. The Rav is the one who says that a Magoshta is a Megadish, is someone who curses Hashem. Okay. I'm Rav Yishuv ben Pazi, I'm Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra, Kol Eyodei Al-Akshav, B'tkufas, M'zalas, and Hoshev, someone who knows how to calculate, again, these the constellations, and understand the seasons, and all this stuff. Astronomy, basically, in one word. So, if he doesn't do that, the pasuk says about this person, it's as if the work of Hashem they don't care about, and the actions of Hashem they do not see. Basically, because And the Indian is simply that, because when you understand this whole Chachma, so you realize, right, back in the day, they certainly worshipped either the constellations or the sun and the moon, and certainly it was a form of Vodazara. So if you're able to disprove that, and you know the Chachma behind it, and you realize it's just one of the mechanisms that Kosh Baruch Hu set in this world, so that's, you're able to fight against the Vodazara, that would be a tremendous thing. And if you don't do that, so then obviously that's a lacking, that's a failing. How do you know it's a mitzvah for you to cheshbon these things out, to understand these things? Right, you should keep this and you should do it because this is your chachma, this is your understanding to the eyes of the nations. Ezu chachma bina shileine amim. Right, which is the chachma bina that is obvious to the nations of the world? Right, you look up, you see the stars, you see the moon, you see the seasons. Omer zech hishuv tkufos umozolos. This is the whole calculation and the chachma, the astronomy, and perhaps understanding the weather. Something that is readily apparent to the guy, and they can see it straight up, as opposed to other disciplines where it's, let's say, perhaps more hidden and more private. And this is obviously available to everybody. And it's available to all, right? This is one of the sources for the Rambam, who says that it's really a chashuv to learn quote-unquote secular subjects, which is not really secular subjects, because you can come to a understanding of the Borei Yisbarach through understanding, you know, the nature, etc., and all the rules and all the things that Akash Baruch Hu set up. And obviously, to ad lib for a second, right? The logical arguments against, you know, having that there is, you know, the logical argument against atheism comes from a knowledge of science. Right? It makes more sense to believe in a Borei Olam, because when you know all of the intricacies and all the details and all the minutia of the world that was created, it's like, what are the odds of that happening by itself? It's literally nil. So when you understand and you deepen your knowledge and your realization and your understanding of science and astronomy and etc., so that brings you closer to the Kosh Baruch Hu, because you have no chance but to admit that there is a Borei Olam. Okay, anyway, Vaita. Hatsod Svi, etc., right? If you trap a deer, other malachos that follow, the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Hatsod Chilozon Vapotso, Enu Chal Vela Achas. If you trap a chilazon, right? Chilazon was used for making the tcheles in the Mishkan and also for Ansitas. So if you trap a chilazon and you squeeze it to get out the blood, right, that's a potzo. In chayla va'achas, you're only chayiv for trapping, not for the squeezing. That's what Rashi says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, chayiv shtayim, you're chayiv for both of them. Chayiv Rabbi Yehuda Omer, betzia b'chlal disha. Squeezing out the blood is included included in threshing. So you're chayiv for that as well. Amulav, the Chachamim said, no, ein betzia ela b'disha. Ein betzia b'chlal disha, potzea is not included in dush. I kind of jumped the gun here, but I'm a rabbi. My time with the rabbanon, kasavre ein disha elo libidule karka, that the dosh is only shy after things that grow from the ground, not animals. Okay, so you're not going to be chayav according to the rabbanon. Gemara says, v'lechayav nami mishum tilas neshama. What about killing? Shchita, killing. Are you going to see in a second that shchita is any type of killing? Not you squeeze the blood out of the chilazon, you ain't going to be doing so well. So the Gemara says, Amar Yochanan shepotzo meis. No, you did it when he was already dead. So Rava said, Amar Rava, one second, hold on. Afil teva potzo chai. You could even say he did it when he was alive. Because misasek, it's on the tilas neshama. He's not interested, right? He's misasek. We had before, right? In terms of the chilazon dying, so it's misasek. You want the blood. You're trying to squeeze out the blood. Okay, you don't care that he dies. Gemara says a famous line: "Abayim v'Rava Damer Tarvayu Modi Rabbi Shimon B'Sigreisha V'Loyamos." Rabbi Shimon agrees that even the Melach Hashem Tzuch L'Gufa, the Misasek is Potter, not Melach Hashem Tzuch L'Gufa. Even a Melach Hashem Tzuch L'Gufa, but in case of, let's say, here Misasek, it's Potter. Right? If you have a P'Sigreisha V'Loyamos, if you have something that will definitely happen 100% of the time, so he's going to be Moda. You can't tell me that it's Misasek or Melach Hashem Tzuch L'Gufa, or Darav Shein Miskaven, sorry, if you think that it's going, if you know it's 100% going to happen, right? You can only argue that you are Misasek or Darav Shein Miskaven if the item is secondary to what the action is secondary to what you're doing, and it may or may not happen. If you know 100% that when you squeeze out the life of the blood of this chilazon that's going to die, So you can't argue that you're not interested in it's happening. Of course it's going to happen. Yeah, the phrase of seek reisha v'lo'yamos literally means, could you seek reisha? Could you chop off its head, meaning a chicken, and it won't die? Right? You want to use the chicken's head as a ball, or a toy, or whatever. You're gonna cut the chicken's head off? You don't want it to die. That's not what you intended. You just want its head to, I don't know, mount on a platter, whatever. So obviously, psik reisha v'lo'yamos, it's obviously going to die. Rabbi Shimon agrees that you're going to be chayv in such a case. So Gemara says, shani hacha, the kama di isbein shama tfei nichale. That no, you want the animal, you want the chilazon alive longer, because kihechi di litzleil tzive, because the dye, the blood, will be of a better color. As long as the animal is alive, the blood that you're getting, the dye, D-Y-E, is more clear, I guess. So it's not a psikoresha, it's a what's called a psikoresha de lo nichale. It's something that's definitely going to happen, yeah, but you're not happy with the result. You're not interested in this happening. It's actually negative in terms of what's happening. And in that case, Rabbi Shimon does not agree that you're going to be chayev. He, in fact, insists that you are still putter. Okay. Right, on shechting. Gemara says shochet mishum ma'achayev. What are you chayev for shechting? Now Tosus here on the bottom says lav ashochet the masnisen koy du pshita the lo havi ela mishum tils neshama. Right, the Gemara is not asking the shechita in the Mishnah. The shechita in the Mishnah obviously means you're killing something. Right, that's the malacha. You end an animal's life. Ela mishum tils neshama that soveit na behedya b'mishna ela ashochet the alma koy. Right, we're not talking. We're talking about shechita ba'alma in general. What are you going to be chayav for when you shecht? How many? It's not going to be. We're not asking what exactly the Mishnah was talking about. Rashi disagrees a little bit. Rashi here says, "Where does shochet mishumah?" Right, shechita b'malach samishkan hecha. So Rashi says, "No, we aren't actually asking what was or where was the shechita in the Mishnah." Umayavite. Right, if you're learning from the skins that they needed to get from the sheep and whatever, you didn't have to shecht it, right? You needed the animal's skins. You weren't going to eat it. You could have just strangled it, Rashi says. So shechita mishum mechayev, where do you have, says Rashi, shechita in the Mishnah. Tosa says, obviously, shechita in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan, sorry, shechita in the Mishkan, was for Nitzilas Neshama, but Rashi's not so convinced. But either way, the Gemara says, Shochet Mishum Maichayev, what is the Indian of Shechita? So Rav Amar Mishum Tzoveya, unbelievable. We'll see what that means in a second. Rav says, when you shecht an animal, you're Chayev for coloring. Huh. Shmuel Amar Mishum Nitzilas Neshama. And Shmuel says, no, because you're killing something. Hey, you're taking a life. Right, there's some sort of killing, and that's what the Gemara happened. That's what happened in the Gemara with the chilazon and the sheep and whatever, and the animals that we talked about, the tachash. Right, so there was some killing down in the Mishkan, therefore that's shechita. So the Gemara says, before we get to Rav explaining what he means, the Gemara just clarifies mishum tzoveya in mishum netiyas neshama lo. Right, would Rav say that you're not chayev for killing something, but right, you're only chayev because you're coloring with the blood? What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, no, af mishum tzoveya. Rav would say, no, of course you're chayav for netilas neshama, that's a malacha on the Mishkan, that's shechita, but you're also chayav for tzoveya. And therefore, this is where Rav explains, why in the world would you be chayav for coloring, for dyeing, D-Y-E, ing, right? When you shecht something, are you kidding me? So Rav, unbelievable, the Gemara doesn't always do this, the Tanayim, Amoraim don't always explain their positions, right? We often have to figure out, and their Talmidim have to argue, what did he mean, what case, what's going on? Rav himself here takes care of it for you. He says, Amarav, Milsa de Amri, Emabo Milsa, de lo lisu dari basrai v'lichu rolai. What I just said, right, what I just pointed out, I'm going to explain to you, so the people later generations, don't come and lichachu means to laugh at me. Right? So literally, Rav was nervous. He realized that was a radical position. So veba my nichale. Right? When you shech the animal, what do you want about dyeing the animal, the dyeing the wool or the skin or the flesh or whatever? So he says nicha the litavis beis ashchita. It's better when the shoche shechts, let's say a goat or a sheep, that the area, the neck, the base of shechita, the place where he shechted, it's better for it to be with the litvaseh's base of shechita dama. if it's very, very red with blood, because people will come and they will see it and then they'll buy from him. Right now, right, obviously when you go to the store, to the butcher, you can tell, fresh meat from frozen meat. Right, in Israel, if you look at the meat that's frozen and flowed in from like Uruguay, if you read carefully on the label, you can see some of this meat is shechted a year ago, which is crazy. Maybe explains why the meat in Eretz Yisrael is not always as good as the meat in America, but that's only if you're comparing the stuff that's not fresh to the stuff that's fresh. And you go to a butcher in Eretz Yisrael and he has fresh meat shechted yesterday, so it's totally fine. But how could they tell back in the day? Back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have frozen section. How could you tell which animal, which meat was fresher? So if you had a bunch of animals lined up, and one of the animals had a redder neck, as gross as that seems, so then you could see the meat was fresher. And so therefore, the guy, the shochet, wanted the blood. And that's why he's chayav for soveya, because he wants the color. He wants that blood coming and soaking the neck of the animal. Okay, hamolcho v'abdo, salting animal skins and tanning animal skins. The Gemara says haynu molech haynu ma'aved. That's the same thing. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish, Damar Tavayu afik chad minayu v'ayel sirto. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish, they both say you're right. Take out one of them, whichever one you want. So you see the Mishnah's list again. We've seen a couple times that the Mishnah's list is not finite. We saw by Ofe that's really bishul, but the old Mishnah list it says afia. Right, so the Mishnah's list is not ironclad, but okay. So here too, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish say, take out one of these malachas and put in sirtut. Sirtut is, perhaps you're familiar with the halachas of stam, of sofer stam, of sefer Torah, mezuzah, tefillin. Does mezuzah require sirtut? Tefillin for sure do. Sefer Torah for sure do. I forget. I think mezuzah doesn't require sirtut. But anyway, sirtut is basically taking a small knife and writing lines on the cloth so that the ksav, so that the writing, right, just like you write in a notebook, right, when you're in third grade, you have these lines, these notebooks you can write on. So sirtut is the act of making clean lines in the skin to write. Next time you get an aliyah, it's a shem, they'll open up the shuls soon, so you can just look inside, you can notice there's a thin line running underneath all of the ksav. That's sirtut. So that's one of the things that they would do. Now, this is not necessarily shaykh to stam, to sefer Torah. They used to do sirtut on, if you're cutting animal hides for clothing as well, just so you should know where to cut when you come back to cut with the scissor later on, or a knife or whatever. First they would do sirtut, which is like a very thin kind of line with a very small razor, a small knife. So that's also one of the melechos. Okay, Amar Rav Amar Rav Huna, Haiman de Melech Bisra, Chayev Mishama Abed. Somebody who salts meat is Chayev for tanning. So Rav Amar in Ibud Ba'ochlin. He says, Rav says, no, Ibud, right, tanning is only by animal skin, not by food. Amar Rav Ashi, Vafilu Rav Amar Rav Huna, Lo Amar Elo de Kaboyle La Orchar. So Rav Ashi explained that Rav Amar Rav Huna himself, when he said that salting meat is tanning, he didn't mean like, you know, you take some salt and you put on your meat on your plate. He's saying back in the day, that's how they kept meat fresh for a long journey. La orcha is a long journey. Avalabesa lo maso inish michla eats. But if you're talking about meat that's for your house, nobody makes their meat as hard as wood. So apparently salt would really harden the meat and make it viable for a journey. Only that was similar to tanning, which the salting and the tanning, that's what you would do with the animal skins. That's what Rabbi Bar Avuna was talking about. Okay, Machlo v'machatcho, smoothing and cutting. This is again talking about the animal skins. Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Hashaf, I think, Bein Hamudim B'Shabbos, Chayiv Mishum Mamachik. Someone, literally this means who rubs between pillars on Shabbos, is Chayiv for Mamachik. There's a machlokas here as to what exactly is going on. Rashi says that we're talking about you're walking around on the floor to smooth over the dirt, right? Kigon amude achsadros she'osim chalonos chalonos v'nimshachem chalonos ben ha'omer v'ashaf sham bekarkos bekarkos habinyan. Rashi says that you're smoothing out the floor of the building between the pillars. She nishanin alav, that they lean on it. Kedei she'ei chalak, so smooth out. So you smooth it out. So that's chayiv mishum amachik. So the problem with that is that we saw before that if you smooth out the floor, they used to have dirt floors in their homes. We said before that if you smooth out the dirt floor on your in your house, that's chayav for bone, not for mamachik. So that's what the Rishonim take Rashi to task, and they explain that no, it's actually if something is again we're talking about skins. So if you're for some reason you strung up an animal skin between two pillars. And you rub it out, or you smooth it out, or whatever it is, so then already that's going to be chayav for mamachik, because that's exactly the topic we're talking about, smoothing out these animal skins. Okay. Amar b'chir bar, Abba shlosha dvarim sachli rabbi rav ashi mishmed rabbi shoben levi. Hamagara roshe klonasos b'shabas. Someone who, magara is to cut in a straight line. I forget, there's a word for it, but I forget already. Like what craftsmen do. Let's say they have like this tool that you can imagine would kind of clean off and like smooth off or cut off in a straight line. So you're talking about the top of poles. If you take these poles, kolonosos are poles, I think. Rashi says roshem shavim v'chadin, so that the tops of them should be equal and sharp. So if you do that at the top of poles, then you're chayav meshem v'chatech. You're chayav for cutting. Okay, hamareach rutia v'shavis. If you smooth out, Rashi says, machlik tachboshes alamaka. If you put something on a wound, on an injury, if that's something that's bleeding, right? You put some, neosporin or whatever. So that's chayav mishum makam padish. Chayav mishum mamachik. That's chayav because of, again, smoothing. Vamasatik says, even b'shabbos. And if you chisel a stone on Shabbos, chayav mishum makam padish, you chayav makam padish, right? Rashi says, shu gemar malacha, that would be finishing off whatever stone they're using for. That's apparently the chisel is the last stage in that stone cutting process. Amar Rav Shimon ben Kisma, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Hatzar Tzura b'kli. If you kind of engrave some sort of image on a utensil, v'menapech b'kli schuchis, and if you blow in a glass kli, if you've ever seen glass blowing, so it's super cool. I was zocheh to see it with my parents. So you take it out, they take like these long metal poles and they just blow a tiny bit of air through it, and then the glassware at the end blows up into something that's usable and it hardens. So that's all chayav mishamak mipatish, because that's like the last item. That's the last item on the list to make these utensils. Amar Rav Yehuda, high mind shaka lakufe miglime, someone who takes out spikes from his shirt, either spikes from the, let's say he had like a splinter or he had like some string that came tangled or whatever it is. So that's also chayav mishamak mipatish, right? You're smoothing out a garment and you're going to sell it or put it on or whatever. Find immediately the kapit alayhu, and that's only if you care about it. But obviously, if you don't mind that there are threads that are sticking out, so then it's totally fine. Hakosim shteyoseros, writing two letters. Tanu Rabbanan. The Drabraisa. Kosov os achas gedolo v'yish makom lichtov shtayim. Let's say you have room to write two letters, right? Again, we said the malacha is writing two letters. That's the definition of the malacha. So if you have room to write two letters, but you only write one, potter. But mochak os gedola v'yesh mekom lichtov shtayim. But if you erase, again, we said mochek almanas lichtov shtei osios, right? The mechika, the erasing, the malacha and the mishkan was in order to write two letters, and we'll get to that later in the masechta. Exactly where, why would they write two letters in the mishkan? You'll see it's on the crushing. Okay. But, so if you, however, if you erase a space that's big enough to write two letters, even if there was one big letter written there, so then chayev, then you are going to be chayev, as opposed to writing, and that's where Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Amar, or Amar Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, zechomer mimochek shem mibakosev. That's how erasing is slightly more machmer than writing, because if you have a space that's big enough for two letters, if you erase that space, you're going to be chayev, but if you write one big letter in that space, you're going to be pater. Habonav asosher mechavim avir makav padish, building and destroying and kindling, and well, I guess extinguishing and kindling, lighting a fire, makav padish, final hammer blow. Rabbi Rav Zemer, Amar Tavayu, Kol Midi Deispik Gmar Malacha, Chayav Mishum Makav Padish. Anything that you're doing that is the last stage in whatever it is, whatever item, whatever kli you're creating. So Makav Padish is expansive; it can span many, many different activities. They're all going to fall under Makav Padish. Okay, fine. Robert, right. Okay, we just did that. Elu avos malachos. These are the avos malachos that are 39. Elu, these are lafukim with Rabbi Eliezer, and that excludes Rabbi Eliezer shita de mechayev al tolda b'makom av. That's chayev for a tolda in the place of an av. Like we said before, that why do we have 39 malachos? So that if you do all of them with one helem, but you did all the 39 malachos, so then you're going to be chayev for each one. And if you did a bunch of toldas of the av, you're also only going to be chayev one. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. He says if you do an av malacha and a toldas, so you're chayev shtayim. So even though you're chayev for the av already. Okay, fine, we'll see. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, in about a couple of weeks. Chaser achas. Less than one, right? It says 40 minus one. So, lafukim mid Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, mosif as a shoved ramadaktik. Rabbi Yehuda would add to the 39 malachos. These are two items that, again, I have very little understanding and comprehension of the weaving process. These are two actions within the weaving process, which basically are lining up the thread on the machine. Kind of positioning them appropriately. So the Gemara said, they said, Amru lo, they said back to him, sorry, Shoved harehu b'chlal mesech, and medaktik harehu b'chlal oreg. And they said that, oh no, those two malachos, whatever, you know, again, I forget which one is which, but like putting it on the machine and lining them up properly, that's included in mesech is putting it on the machine, okay, and oreg is with the actual weaving. So I guess so smoothing them out and kind of lining them up over there and making sure they're all set up on the machine. So that's already included in the other ones that we mentioned. Okay, shkoyach kol rabosei, we go vayter. Tomorrow's the last daf in a perikla gadol, and then we are going to go vayter into a bunch of prakim that deal with hotza. All right, have a great day or night wherever you are listening to this.